Just a brief recap from last week, and just to fill you in for those that weren't here, and a refresher. Now, James spoke to us from Matthew 28, 16 to 20, where Jesus is giving the instructions and his commission to disciples and saying, this is the work that I've set for you. I have the authority to send you out, and this is what I want you to do. You are to go out and to make disciples, to baptize and to teach people to obey. And then he assured them of his continuing presence. So what is discipleship we talked about? It is simply making disciples who are pupils, people who wholly accept what their teacher and their master teaches and is like. And our teacher and master is Christ. He's the foundation for all that we build on and for all our discipling. As 1 Corinthians says, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. Amen. Then James spoke about a blueprint, and we're talking about blueprints over this next series. And a blueprint for making disciples, and how that can be described in terms of a purpose, a process, and a presence. Jesus' command and commission is to go and to make disciples of all nations. Our passage today gives us an example of how that making disciples of all nations took place. Philip is discipling, or making a disciple of an Ethiopian. I'd just like to turn to the book of Acts, and Jono is going to come and share that reading with us. Book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 to 40.
Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. He was led like a lamb, like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
I believe there are two main messages here. Firstly, there's one of inclusivity. It's to reach all the world with the message of God's love and salvation in Jesus. That is, making disciples, including those we would least expect to respond. In this case, perhaps the Ethiopian. This is the purpose. And the second message, I believe, is about sensitivity. Disciples listen for and follow the Spirit's prompt without hesitation. This is the process and the presence. This passage actually starts with the process. An example of sensitivity. So, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Who's the angel of the Lord? We're not told. In this situation, we're just not told. It might have been a person, it might have been a vision from the Holy Spirit, we don't know. Who's Philip? This is not Philip the Apostle. This is Philip, known as Philip the Evangelist. He's one of the seven men that were part of the Jerusalem church when they appointed deacons. And they said, you people who are filled with the Spirit and with truth and with wisdom, we will appoint you to go down and to serve the apostles and to serve and to help the apostles. Then there came Saul's great persecution in Jerusalem. And Philip was one that fled. He fled to a city in Samaria where the Christians in Jerusalem were being persecuted by Saul. There he preached and healed with miraculous signs to many people. And there was great joy in that city. That comes from Acts earlier in the chapter. So here's Philip, busy with a successful ministry, healing, preaching, seeing the Samaritans converted, doing wonderful, miraculous signs. And now he's being told to go to a lonely desert road. Okay, so what does he do? He goes. No questions. He goes. Somehow he recognizes that this angel, this vision, this message is from the Lord. An angel from the Lord. And his immediate response is, okay, I'm off. And I just wonder, I don't know about you, but I wonder, and I'm guilty of this, I think, how would I respond to that? I think, hang on, we've got a good thing going here, you know. There's people being converted. There's miracles happening. There's people being healed. Really? Go to a desert road? Leave all this? What's going on? Come again. I don't get it. There's no explanation. There's no instructions. Just go. Are you sure this can't be right, can it? Okay. Seems like a most unlikely place for preaching. And you know, it's good. It's good when we give our careful planning and thinking and preparation to the ministry and the mission field that we see before us. Very good. But it's also good, isn't it, to listen responsibly to the Spirit when he might want to tell us to do something we would never think of doing by our own thoughts, such as take the Gaza road, go out to the lonely desert and walk along there and see what happens. And it just really, really convicts me, because there's actually severe warnings in the scripture. There's warnings that say, don't you quench the Spirit. If you're going to put your own thoughts and your own will onto what I say and my commands to you, you're quenching the Spirit. You're saying, oh, I know better. We're told that Philip met an Ethiopian, a eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasurer of the queen of the Ethiopians. This man's a believer in God. He's a proselyte to Judaism. And he wants to be part of the feast. He wants to be part of the celebration and the worship that's going on in Jerusalem. I'm not sure how much of that he's able to participate in, being a Gentile, a foreigner, a eunuch. He was probably pretty limited. But he's keen. He's come from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. I'm not sure what your geography's like, but that's a road trip. That's something like probably about 3,000 kilometres. That's a big trip. And now he's heading home. And he's reading Isaiah. He is committed. He is really keen. He's waiting on God. He's. We don't know the circumstances of his life, but something's going on with him. Now, would Philip normally talk to such a person? I don't know that he would. Probably not. Although I'm just wondering, maybe his experience in Samaria might have broadened his outlook a little bit. That's up to the Lord. If he'd thought about it, Philip might have easily been dissuaded as well. I'm not sure about this guy. I don't know this guy. He looks pretty official. He looks pretty high ranking. I'm not so sure that he's really going to want me alongside him. Oh, he's reading. Well, I better not interrupt him. I'm sure he wouldn't want somebody interrupting him. Isn't it? I mean, does that ring true? Isn't it? That certainly does for me, doesn't it? It sounds like, oh, suddenly there's hesitation and doubts and the little whisperings of the enemy that sort of creep in and say, maybe not, you know. Is this the right time, really? Perhaps not. How about just wait for some real confirmation? If Philip had delayed in his obedience, the opportunity probably would have been lost. And that's the essence, isn't it? Spirit asks us to be bold and to not hesitate. It's said that delayed obedience is disobedience. So it's a message for us, being open and immediately obedient to God's guidance, even the unexpected or the incomprehensible. It may have repercussions for the kingdom that we can't even dream about. So, how does Philip teach us to be more sensitive or attuned and obedient to God's guidance? His prompt obedience to the Spirit is the perfect timing for this Ethiopian reading Isaiah. That's the way the Spirit works. And, you know, I was really encouraged to hear Andrew's talk this morning about, you know, when you were sharing about seeing the Cape and Race, you know. There's little gifts that God gives to us to say, I'm in this, you know. I'm here with you. And that's what James was talking about last week too, about his presence. Philip's proactive in sharing the gospel, and we need to be that too. I'm not sure how often we would have that opportunity in life, but our faith story, even that everyday faith story that we have of God's interventions in the things that are going on with us each day, it doesn't have to be a lecture. It just has to be a brief little, you know what, God really encouraged me today with this. Or, this is the lesson I learnt this morning. I don't know about you, but so often I find that when I've started the day reading a scripture, almost without a doubt, sometime during the day, that scripture comes alive, either for me or for someone that I can share it with. Stepping out of what's comfortable with boldness, like Philip. Taking Jesus at his word when he says that all authority has been given to me to enable us to make disciples. Now, I'm staggered at that. This is Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, saying, I have the authority. All authority, heaven and on earth, is given to me. Now, what I'm saying to you is, take that and go with that authority and make disciples. So share what God's doing in your life. Share the things that have transformed you, the things that I might be working on in somebody else's life. And we have that authority from him to do that. So it's not about our words. Philip wasn't successful because he was great. He's successful because the gospel is great, and because God is great, and God is doing something in people's lives. We feed on, and we feed on the scriptures. Philip knew the scriptures. He knew how to answer that Ethiopian's question. So I was reading a pastor once said, receiving special direction from the Lord drives people to their Bibles more and more. Not only for discernment, but because they've discovered that there's a direct correlation between having the mind steeped and saturated with scripture and being sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful to teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Are we ready to tell anyone about Jesus? Is there an Ethiopian eunuch in your life waiting to hear? Someone we wouldn't normally connect with? Someone that's out of our league? Someone intimidating, perhaps? Who's an Ethiopian for you? This is important to God, because the salvation of a single sinner for both is important. God loves each sinner. And it's important for both the individual and for the broader purpose of reaching all nations. When a sinner is converted, it's because it is God's purpose to do it according to his process. He inclines and moves the hearts of his servants, directs their work, and he prepares the way for the reception of the truth. So people of all races, occupations, ranks, educations, backgrounds, whoever can believe. Who's an Ethiopian to you today? Let us maybe reflect on our attitudes to inclusivity and acceptance. I wonder if there's attitudes we might have that would block us from connecting with others. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot, stay near it. Now Philip might be getting an idea of why he was there. So he runs to the chariot, hears the man reading, and asks a simple, straightforward, and relevant question. This is how we share with people. Do you understand what you're reading? The Ethiopian responds, how can I unless someone explains it to me? Come on up and tell me. Come on up and tell me. Who's this prophet speaking about? Here's another good question. This Ethiopian, he's not distracted by side issues. He's right there in the scriptures, right there on the point. I wonder how often we're put off in talking to people by imagining that they're going to be put off by us. And what an amazing design of God. That of all the Old Testament scriptures, here's the Ethiopian reading about the suffering servant, reading about the crucifixion of the Messiah. Hey, this only happened a few weeks ago, and here I am reading about it, and it's the very passage that I'm reading that Philip's got the opportunity to talk about. How amazing. He asks a question because there's... I don't know if he's searching, if he really wants to know this. There's also the suggestion that some of the Jews had actually planted the idea that Isaiah, and we know he's talking about the Messiah, but the Jews are saying, no, he's actually just talking about himself. And why would they say that? Because if he's talking about himself, then he's not talking about Jesus. He can say, oh, it's about the prophet, you know. It's not about this person that has fulfilled all these prophecies that we have just crucified. So Philip uses the Ethiopian's interest and question as a starting point to show that Jesus is the Messiah through the scriptures. It's a clear instance, isn't it, of one in need of discipleship, ready to be discipled, who just then happened upon the one ready and able to do that very thing for him. And it also just demonstrates the wonder and the blessing of God. Here's this Ethiopian, he's reading the scriptures and he's just saying, I just want to understand this. I don't really know what's going on here. And yet God takes him so much further. He reveals to him to the Messiah. And he allows him to accept that truth and to be transformed and to know Jesus for himself and to go away rejoicing. I just think that's wonderful. He expected this much and God gave him this much. You are now a new man, a new person. Don't just be satisfied just with knowing a little bit more about the scriptures. You know me. You now know me, the one the scriptures talk about. And it's transforms his life. This is discipleship. This is allowing the mighty authority of Jesus to do his work through us in reaching others. Philip must in the end have either included or concluded with an explanation of the design and the duty that we have of responding to the call of God and letting that be seen in baptism, symbolising our acceptance of God's love and grace, regardless of background, social status, physical condition. The Ethiopian expresses a conviction at once to be baptised, surrender to Christ and profess his name. There's a verse, "What prevents me from being baptised?" he asks. There's a verse that isn't included in our reading and is omitted in some translations because they think it might have been added later, that says something along the lines of, "Philip replied, 'If you believe with your whole heart, you may be baptised.' And the man said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" But Philip also knows how to apply the gospel to himself. And this is a message that James gave us last week as well. Before we can be disciples, we need to be a disciple. So Philip is set free. He's free of the social and the religious barriers that would normally have kept him away from that man. He knows that his standing before God is based solely on Jesus' death, the same as anyone else. This is humility, but it's also confidence. And that's how we can disciple as well. Let's start every day like Philip, rejoicing in God and telling him that we're available. Let's pray for eyes to see and for ears to hear when he calls us to a divine appointment like Philip had with the Ethiopian. Or maybe you identify with the Ethiopian. Maybe you're becoming aware that God is doing something in your life that you're not quite sure of. Is he drawing you? Is he is planting seeds in your life? Is he whispering words that say, "I'm here, I love you, why don't you come to me?" Or maybe you're reading the scriptures but not really understanding. Ask for a discipler. And again, James mentioned last week that discipleship can be one-to-one or maybe in a group. We have groups. And we have lots of people that would love to be disciples. Our readings recently have been through Revelation, and the constant refrain of the message that Jesus is giving to the churches is, "He who has an ear, let him and her hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So I'd just like to close then. If you feel like you're one that God is drawing, that you feel that little whispering thoughts every now and then that come to your mind that say, "Yeah, maybe God's there for me somewhere and I'm not really sure how to respond," there's an opportunity for you to say yes to Jesus like that Ethiopian did. To say, "Yes, I believe you are the Messiah. I believe you're the Son of God. Yes, I can hear you at work in my life. Yes, I believe, Lord Jesus, that you died for me, that all those scriptures that spoke about a suffering servant were you taking my place. I need my sins forgiven. I need to be clean. I need a relationship with God. I need that rejoicing that the Ethiopian went away with. If that's you, respond without hesitation. Don't wait. Don't think, I'll better think about that a little bit more. Yeah, maybe, perhaps. Meet a discipler. Say yes to Jesus. And if there's a time when you want to be baptized, there's a baptism call there too, and Jesus says, this is the way that you show what this faith in me means. Be baptized. Let that symbol be a public declaration that I'm crucified to myself and I belong to you and I'm alive in you, Jesus. So with each, there's an invitation from Jesus and there's a challenge. Let me just pray. God, our Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, dear Holy Spirit, I want to surrender to you as disciples, like Philip, to hearing your voice, to be in tune with what you're saying to us, and to respond without hesitation, to respond boldly, to respond without fear, to respond in the authority that Jesus gives us, in sharing with whoever you put in our path. We thank you that you privilege us with the wonder of partnering with you in discipling others, in drawing people into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord God, that you are a saviour, that, Lord Jesus, you are the Messiah, the promised one, the suffering servant, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, the one who died in our place, the one who establishes for us a relationship with Almighty God and is able to send us rejoicing with newness of life. We just give you all the praise, all the thanks. And we ask, Lord God, that you would tune us through scriptures into your Spirit's voice. Enable us, Lord, to hear that prompting. Show us, Lord, the people that you draw to us. No matter how busy we are, through those divine appointments that enable us, Lord, to be a partner with you, show us each day, I ask, for each of us, who the Ethiopian might be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.